too late. For a moment or two, I could neither breathe nor move. Then I felt my fear and unhappiness disappear, as I knew that I was no longer alone in my responsibility for Sir Henry. The dangers all around me did not seem so frightening. The cool voice could belong to only one man in the world. "Holmes!" I cried. "Holmes!" I went outside the hut, and there was Holmes. He was sitting on a stone, and his grey eyes were dancing with amusement. He was thin and worn, but bright and wide awake. His skin was brown from the wind and the sun, but his chin was smooth, and his shirt was white. He did not look like a man who had been living in the middle of the moor. "I have never been so glad to see anyone in my life," I said, "nor so surprised."
"I am surprised too," Holmes said, as he shook me warmly by the hand. "How did you find me?"
I told him about Frankland, and how I had seen the boy with the food. Holmes went into the hut and looked at the food, and at the note with it.
"I guess that you have been to see Mrs. Laura Lyons," he said.
And when I told him that he was right, he went on,
"When we put together everything that each of us has discovered, I expect we shall know almost everything about this case."
"But how did you get here?" I asked him. "And what have you been doing? I thought you had to finish your case in London."